high an office camp we get to before somebody cares enough to dig these up?
I wonder.
Probably just congressmen.
Yeah, right. Maybe even local.
Maybe even something more local if, your opponent was
a dickweed.
Sufficient obsessive dick.
Hello. And welcome to the Cube Corner Games podcast. We don't often do cold opens, but that one I'll leave in. So yeah, I think we've committed to the digital realm that might come back to bite us if we try to seek.
Hello, obsessive dicks.
How's it going?
Tell me about your nun Valentine's Day.
None your business.
Yes. There's so many. You know what? I'll say this. If democracy survives long enough, such that any of us would get the chance to run for office in the future, you know, then I'll take it as a win if one of us ultimately comes down for something controversial that was said on one of these recordings for some reason. My name is Dustin Morbido. I think somebody's
feedback.
Yeah. If one of you guys are on speakers, maybe turn it down just a hair if you can.
No. No, I don't think it's me.
Okay. I know I'm not.
I was seeing your little icon light up in Discord while Dustin was talking, so that's all.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's all ambient.
Anyway, I'll try to rein in my own enormous voice.
Also, yeah, you shout too.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's definitely on me a little for sure. Joining me today in this room, Lorraine Morbido is here.
You can't prove that.
Yeah, that's true. I can't. You could be an algorithm.
I've been an algorithm.
You just
friend.
Be like Siri, but I trained you real good.
It's her, but I'm
Siri,
a lot less interesting.
Siri, be my wife. Yeah, they made a movie about that.
Yeah. Dang. Colette's also here. She's being good right now. Mm-hmm. We'll see how long that lasts.
Now. Joining us via the internet, Wade McGrath is here.
Oof.
Kyle McGrath is here.
Cortana! I love you, Cortana!
She doesn't talk to me because I disabled her ass. She's like, are you sure?
I
was
like,
absolutely.
I think that was my decision, too.
Justin, you're ableist.
And finally joining us, Brian Lipper is here.
Being a degenerate as usual.
That's right.
Hey, guys, is there join my only lands.
You have to explain what it is.
Yeah.
My Street Fighter V dojo is named Only Lands.
And that's their like clan equivalent, right? It's just like a loose association of players that that play together and want to be in a crew.
I guess so. I don't know.
I think that's what dojos are in Street Fighter V.
I don't know what that is either.
I literally just saw that, like, people had this thing and I was like, I don't know if I want to join one of those because I don't really care.
But now you can have that appear to your name when you fight dudes, and that's pretty funny. So.
And then I came up with a good name, and I was like, now I have to have one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm into that. Let me think. Because I do want to try to keep us out of the realm of, like, total depression, but real quick, I'll
yesterday
run down.
Yesterday was Depression Sunday. Let's just get that that's out of the right. way. Everyone, for whatever reason, was just having
Sunday.
Apathy Sunday. And it's a figment of depression.
And this very short check-in on the world is shit.
Everyone hated it.
Fucking Chadwick Boseman died.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. I still, like, haven't even really processed that that's true. I think, like, the next time I actually watch Black Panther or one of those other Marvel movies or something, like, it'll maybe occur to me more.
Yeah.
But that just sucks. He was a good actor, and he seemed like a really cool dude.
He was diagnosed before he even started doing the filmings. He was at stage 3 when he did those first Marvel movies and was in
Black Panther and both of the... Mm-hmm.
Civil War.
Yeah, both of the Avengers movies.
Infinity War. All of his appearances.
Was a fucking trooper.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, right. No, like, no shit. Like, he's, you know, presumably keeping some kind of a workout regimen and doing all those stunts.
Yeah,
because
he looked amazing for being in chemo at the same time.
And keeping his spirits enough up to put it on camera. It's just like, that's a lot, dude.
Yeah, but like, if you go back and watch most of his interviews, he's usually focused on, like, other people and, actually being a good human being, which is rare enough, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do think he was one of those guys where, like, you see, and I can't think of anybody even in particular off the top of my head, but certain actors, you see him... All right, Harrison Ford's a good example. Like, you see Harrison Ford interview, he doesn't look like he gives a shit about anything, human or otherwise.
Yeah.
Chadwick Boseman came off as a guy who was, like, generally, like, a nice dude
just
who had concerns. humans outside of himself. Like outside of the characters
quality
that he played, even
human being.
So yeah, that just, you know,
the world is worse off.
That's shitty, and it's unrelated to the other shittiness in the world. Yes. That was like an extra dollop of shittiness on top of everything else that's going on.
A literal gut punch.
Dollop of shitty.
No, it's just Daisy. It's just
shits up.
Uh-huh.
Shits up.
And then other than that, you know, the political shits world is still just spinning out of control, and I'm not going to get into the details of that.
Please don't.
Right now, because I don't want to. But I will still say that
I don't want to.
You know, donate to causes that you believe in if you can. Volunteer your time if you can manage it.
Please,
I think
vote.
I'm gonna please vote more than anything. Vote. I think I might try to see if I can summon the courage to do some like phone banking from here or something at some point before the actual election happens, which is like a thing that I desperately do not want to do. But it'll make me feel a little better if I contribute more than like the usual amount of just showing up to vote, pretty much.
Yeah, I should look into something like that too.
The deadline will probably be passed by the time this gets posted. I want to say like either today or tomorrow is the last day to apply to be a poll worker for the day.
Oh, okay, that is good to know.
I don't necessarily know that I want to be a poll worker, even though that is incredibly important. But that it also
works 16 hours.
But it also opens you up to extra levels of
This is maybe not
danger.
The year.
I mean, the idea for me is that I am like super resistant to all forms of sickness, and other people aren't. Maybe I should be on the front lines for this one.
I mean,
it is the most precarious, but also it is potentially one of the most important times you could ever volunteer to do it. So yeah, if you've got it in you to do it, then by all means,
if you are a superhuman.
Be your own little Black Panther. Be the hero we need.
I mean, to be fair, Kyle lives in a house.
Like $20.
There you go. That's a solid lunch right there.
To be fair, Kyle lives
Here's
in a house.
Here's a caramel
that is...
candy.
Kyle lives in a house that is more cat hair than house. And
that bad.
And the basement smells like little brownies.
I'll go down there.
Brownies.
Four cats is on the upper end of it, the acceptable number of cats.
I mean, more than that, I have concerns.
How many times have you vacuumed since it was like 10?
It being
the house?
The number.
The house? The number of cats.
I vacuumed a few days ago.
There you go. See, recently.
Eat it,
you should
Brian.
Have vacuumed a few days ago and today and every day between then. So you're going to have to vacuum that house like a million times to mitigate that cat situation.
I mean, you get like a carpet cleaner at that point. Like.
Right. In the long term, I think the carpet's just got to go. Like,
right, yeah, you're
that's
right.
It's also like, carpet just gets that way.
Yeah,
multiple cats or anywise, like, it can get
rank. Put 10 or 15 years on a carpet, you know. It's not going to come out spotless no matter what you do to it.
Woo.
But anyway, carpet aside, cats aside, that's our only PSA for, like, everything still sucks. If you can summon the will, well, first of all, vote. Just do it.
Please. Just
vote. Seriously. If you're going to vote by mail, do it as soon as humanly possible. If you're going to vote in person, make sure you go vote.
But also, there are ways, there are drop-offs. You don't have to just, like, put it in a mailbox. You can go to locations, just literally put it in the mailbox or a drop box or whatever, because it's probably not going to get anywhere fast because they're sabotaging the post office.
Yeah, that's a good point, Lorraine. Wherever you physically live, there should be somewhere
to
like
drop
you,
officially just drop off ballots.
You don't have to put
like,
it in the mail.
It.
You can take your ballot to the city hall or wherever.
Somewhere.
Someplace where they'll take
vary.
It directly as opposed to it going through the postal system and then arriving where it's supposed to be. So I would certainly look that up if you're going to vote remotely.
Yes.
Do that. And then just, if you can summon the will to do, like,
care
anywhere between 5 and 10% more than usual. Like I said, if you've got a few bucks.
I know it hurts. And
donate
a
few bucks to the Biden campaign or to any local race that you feel is important.
Local races can be just as important. Like, micro-level stuff matters, too, not just macro.
Yeah. Sometimes more than the macro stuff.
Sure.
And I'll share one other thing about...
The state's pretty close.
I'll share one other thing that I've been thinking about this stuff this time. And I don't think this answer will be true for everybody, but it's the answer that I came with to myself. If you do want to do something, I would do it in the realm of that stuff that is like that will definitely theoretically have some impact on the outcome of any of these races, rather than the other thing that I've been thinking of really frequently, which is like, I should have a conversation with my parents about how bad some of their opinions are. And I'm just like, I don't think I'm emotionally I just like with everything else that's going on, I think I'm emotionally ready to subjugate myself to that. So there's that element of it. And I also don't think it'll do much good at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I love my parents dearly, but I don't think that'll move the needle, and it's not going to do anything but make me feel shitty. So the energy that I would have spent doing that, I'm just going to have to focus somewhere else.
That's why I don't engage. Like, I know that fight has been lost decades in the past. Like, I wasn't even alive when that battle line was drawn. Like, there's no point in trying to push against it, trying to reason. There's no reason. There's no logic. It's a fact. And I could spend my time, emotional energy, and resources doing any number of better things that would make an actual difference.
Do you guys, who all was with us when we went to the art gallery in downtown Rochester and saw that portrait of Reagan? And
I was there. That was years and years ago, but I remember that.
I didn't even know you then.
That was a really long time ago.
I don't remember ever going to that.
And then, like, everyone in there was so, like, disgruntled with us just, like, finding humor in Reagan's visage.
Well, that was pre-2016, so you can still have, you know, a nice chuckle about that.
Right, yeah, it was still funny. Like, it wasn't darkly funny. It was just funny.
Oh boy.
But yeah, do whatever you can summon the will to do, mm-hmm. at minimum voting.
Yes.
And then anything beyond that is,
honestly, like,
you know,
if that's
take.
It, if that's literally all you can do, like, that's also fine.
Yeah.
Like,
right. You're ahead of half the country at that point.
Yeah.
That's not that much, but like a third.
Not everyone 40, can do everything. 40%. Like, sometimes you're.
It's actually more than half, I think. If you count kids.
Well, I don't count kids.
Ever. How did five of them get in here? I didn't count them.
It's like the cats now.
There you go.
You know, every day or two, there's just a new kid that shows up.
Shit. I feel like that's the true of our neighborhood. I swear to God, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, given where you live, I'm sure there's a fair number of breeder billies around.
Yeah, there's cats about.
61% 2016.
There you go. Which, you know, better than 50. Still not great.
No.
We can do better. Is the
yes.
So every one of
and
you,
we should do better.
Every person who goes out on vote,
we should
goes out
do
votes,
better.
Makes it a little better, right?
My victory for some of the people I know, like, if I can convince them to not vote, I think that's a win.
Sure, mm-hmm. that's where I was last time. Like I said, that's the case I tried to make to my parents last time, especially my mom, because my dad's even, I think, more far gone than her, was like, just don't vote. I know, I'm pretty sure there's no way I can convince you to vote for Hillary Clinton, but if I can convince you to sit it out, that's worth something. And, you know, I still came up empty on that front, so this year I'm just not going to fight that battle this time. I'm just going
to somewhat defend my previous stance of encouraging non-voting. I think informed vote, you want to be an uninformed voter is better than a non-voter, which is better than an uninformed voter.
Mm-hmm. And let's, all right, I'll try to close out on this, and then we'll move on to things that
anti-informed.
Are less stupid. But like, like, there are certainly, there's got to be a handful of them, maybe like 6 or 7 Republicans out there who want to see the party reborn in some image than Donald Trump's shitty orange face.
That's basically the Lincoln Project.
Right. So
I would even say that's more than a handful. There is a,
they just,
a
like,
lot.
A lot of them don't want to
Trump's
admit it.
Support among Republicans is high, but it is not high enough to...
All-encompassing. It's not...
Right. It's not all-encompassing, and it's clear that it is still losing support.
Yeah.
And I was telling my friend yesterday... compare the approval numbers to Nixon pre and post Watergate. Trump's approval rating right now is like 40-something%, and Nixon's was 67 or so prior to Watergate, and it plummeted to 25 after Watergate. Like,
yeah.
We're in that in-between zone right mm-hmm. now where it could continue dropping, but even if it doesn't, 40% is not high enough to be sustainable. Not just for the presidential election, but for down ballot elections.
Sure.
And if we turn like Texas purple because of it, you know, the sky's the limit after that.
Right.
You're just blowing my mind with this Nixon statistic where there's an era not too distant past where facts mattered and people could change their minds.
Sure, yeah, yeah. They certainly mattered more. but yeah, that's the, you know, Roger Ailes was born from that. Like,
yeah,
Fox
right.
News exists because that was the lesson he learned. He was like, well, if you just create a media ecosystem that lies to people 100% of the time, it's amazing what you can get away with.
There's that. But even after Watergate, Nixon had that 25% of completely unwavering support. Mm-hmm. So it's not like those people didn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's obviously just been exacerbated now, or his support among Republicans has been a steady 80% or whatever the entire time, or 90% or whatever ridiculous number.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Well, although part of that is because the people who are bailing are partially also bailing the Republican Party right now.
Right.
Yeah, right. There are some people in that sect. The real judgment for that stuff is, like, I do agree with you that if on Election Day every single person who has misgivings about Trump as a human, like the people in the Republican Party who do not like him as a person,
mm-hmm.
if all of those people sat out or voted for Biden, like, it would be over, you know, two or three times over. But if just enough of them, you know, despite all of their misgivings, just show up again and hold their nose two or three times harder than they did in 2016 and still just, like, see that one more Supreme Court seat in the distance and, mm-hmm. pull the lever anyway. Yeah, we'll fucking see. But
regardless,
yeah.
Like, we'll see another round of what happened after Bush left. I was like, the day after he leaves or week after he leaves, suddenly, you know, I've hated Bush or hated Trump all along, and so that support will go down to 15-20% or whatever.
Well, that's the thing, is I wonder, like, I think that's a big if. I think it'll take...
I do, too.
The thing that I wonder about that is I don't think it will, like... I think there will be a reformation of the Republican Party either after this election or, you know, God willing, after the next one if, you know, he wins another term. But I do think it'll take longer than like, I don't think it'll take one or two election cycles even. I think it'll be a much more drawn out, much bloodier affair to get to a different version of the Republican Party than the one we have today.
The good news,
the core base is much more unwavering than what I was saying was based on more like Republican, elected Republicans.
Who right, sure. The officials
already.
Mm. The face of the party.
Yeah.
The good news there is that if it is long and drawn out, there's a world where that 40% holds firm and Democrats just sweep for like three terms, which is, that's enough that, you know, in a perfect world, we get Texas, we use the power of the Senate to make Puerto Rico and DC states, and then we literally never lose the Senate again until some horrible chicane happens.
I really can't foresee things like Washington and Puerto Rico becoming states just because of the amount of drastic change that would imply to the entire process. Like, they would never, ever let that happen by any means necessary just because it would be the death of the Republican Party.
Wow.
Puerto Rico, maybe, but I think D.C.'s statehood is really, like, people are pissed about that, and there's an awareness of it, especially in Washington.
The morality of it, whether or not it should or shouldn't happen, is irrelevant. It's just 2 to 4 senators that'll be pretty reliably Democratic. They're just not going to let it happen. There'll be murders in the streets before they let it happen.
I mean,
I didn't mean it.
There's a lot of my brain stopped.
Using Wi-Fi.
Never mind. Skip me.
Pass.
What I will say is that if Texas does like turn blue, along with like Arizona and some of the other ones, kind of in that ballpark, like that'll trigger a change on its own.
Sure. And that's
if you're in Texas, you're not getting an electoral 270 ever again.
Right. And that's all positive. And that is even like the concept of Texas becoming in play, like in perpetuity, is positive to the Democratic goals without the negative consequences. The reason that they might not try to do, you know, statehood for Puerto Rico, D.C. or whatever is that, like, the historical cowardice of being framed for trying to advance their own agenda by Republicans when Republicans always frame them that way every way anyway.
Right.
But yeah, there's like you said, with Texas, you get, like, if Texas does truly, as, you know, everybody has been prophesying for the last 5 or 10 years or whatever, become in play just due to demographic shifts, like, that's a sea change for politics, presidential politics in America, generally speaking. But yeah, and then as a, like, I would love it if the, I would love it if any of the territories in U.S. that wanted statehood
could get it,
got statehood, mm-hmm. right? Because yeah,
like I'm upset that it's a political thing and yeah. not just what's best for Puerto Rico. Or
sure, and DC. And the other, the thing that, like, the way that conservatives will frame it, and have, you know, in the times it's brought up, have framed it, is like, oh, it's just a partisan power grab by the Democratic Party to blah, 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 blah. And that's both true and completely not true. Like, in the sense that in the immediate moment, it will definitely benefit them politically. Like, that is absolutely true. But unlike, you know, unlike the kind of things that Republicans get up to on average, where they just try to suppress the vote, full stop.
There isn't even a positive
right, like the like, more democracy is good if you're willing to play ball in the realm of representative democracy. Like, your job then isn't to just, like, take those votes back off the table. It's to make a compelling case for why mm-hmm. those people shouldn't be right. liberal and should be conservative. And
aside
that's,
from that we I need more money in my bank account.
Yeah, and right, and that's the that is the game that Republicans haven't played for, like, I don't know, 2010 on at minimum. Like, it's yeah. just like this has not been
then,
the ball game means. That they've been interested in participating
right.
in.
Right around Bush too, like, that stopped being viable.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. But the point there being, it's not even like, you know, it's not like gerrymandering. It's not like we are we are setting these people up down to the voter to suit our interests. It is currently they are a coalition that will support us, but that could change at any time if you make a compelling case for why they shouldn't. You just have mm-hmm. to, like, you know, do real work and honestly participate in the democratic process.
Why do that?
Just like they said after 2012 or 2008, and then they did the complete opposite.
Right.
Double, triple, quadruple down on their base.
So, it's yeah, man, I have no idea what the future holds, but if you're worried about it,
well, try to do, welcome to the club.
Try to do something. Lands like Lorraine said, vote or more in the next couple of months.
Don't sit in the corner and cry. Or
do, but also do other things.
Yeah.
You're allowed to
right,
sit in the corner and cry.
Take as much time to mope as you need, but also
don't
do
let
a
it,
thing.
Yeah, don't uh-huh. let it deter you from actively trying to make a change. Like, we can all sit, we'll have our apathy Sundays every now and then where we're just all hyper-depressed for no reason, and then
get for every the, reason.
Get up
every
and yeah.
Sunday.
No particular reason. It was all the reasons yesterday.
Uh-huh.
But as long as you can get up when you need to go and try and make things better, like, you do you. We shouldn't have to sit and cry in the corner. I wish I didn't have to sit and cry in the corner, but here we fucking
that's right.
are.
Sometimes you got to eat SpaghettiOs in the shower before you can.
Sometimes you got to make SpaghettiOs in the shower
before you can put on your pants one leg at a time and then, you know, go vote or whatever.
Welcome to my
put
chef.
My bra on with every other woman,
koozie.
One leg at a time.
That's right. Mm.
Sense to me.
I'm gonna live stream me filling a jacuzzi with Chef Boyardee ravioli and then go vote.
Oh,
I'll do my mail-in ballot from the jacuzzi. There we go.
Hey, you don't even have to get out.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, anyway.
yeah, that was you know, tis what it is to some extent, but you have to everybody
maybe
has to do their part.
Will wipe us all out.
I hope
yeah,
so.
We'll see.
I gotta go check on the black materia. I'll be right back.
Don't you steal it from me again.
Again.
I turned your house into the... I solved the puzzle in your house is the black materia, Kyle.
Damn it, Kyle's house is now gone.
Lorraine, did you have to learn something... Did you have to learn something deep about yourself? Like, you had to, you know, go through a trial that... made you grow a little as a person, and then the asteroid hit, and then the door to the train car opened. Is that what
maybe,
happened?
Maybe. I kicked the toad is what I actually did.
Okay, there you go. That's what, all right.
To kick
Lorraine,
the toad.
Lorraine,
oh, no.
I want you to make me a t-shirt that says Kick the Toad 2020 on it.
Has your name been Terrence this whole time? No.
yeah, I would very much enjoy that. yeah, that perfect, unflawed segue is going to take us what I think we'll mostly talk about for the rest of this
Choo-choo.
Podcast, which is just kind of any cool animated thing that anyone wants to share thoughts on. But starting with Infinity Train.
Yeah, we have watched through season two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we watched the first two seasons, which, you know, pretty easy to power through, though,
because they're
10 episodes
long.
A piece of, right, little...
Yeah,
they're so quick, like, it's so
each
snappy.
Each season total for, like, 90 minutes or so.
Yeah. Right, yeah, they're about one old-school animated feature film's worth of content or whatever. Pretty good. I liked it a lot. Well, and the season three's going. Like I said, I don't know. Kyle, do you know how many season three episodes there are so far?
It's 10. They finished.
Oh, okay. They finished. Okay. Because, yeah, we haven't watched any of it
yet.
So. Yeah. All right. So we got one more full season to go.
Woo. All
right. And then maybe no more ever.
Well, yeah. That's the... is the way of things. But,
I was not expecting... I don't want to give too many spoilers away, because I want people to experience it if they can.
I'll preface every conversation we're about to have, and then I'll... Sorry, Lorraine. I'll cede the floor back to you.
I haven't seen season three,
Same. There will probably be light spoilers of things in any series we talk about, but we're not going to describe the plot in detail of any specific thing.
No.
So, with that said...
I was not expecting it to be such a trip. Like... I knew literally nothing about this series going in, like. But man, some of those swings in those episodes are heavy.
Yeah.
Like, my God. But like, the setting is extremely cool. The visuals are awesome. Like, the concept itself is so weird and out there, but really interesting and compelling. Like, I was very floored with. Specifically, the first season, even the first few episodes in, it was like right, like we hit the ground running, and it basically hasn't stopped. There are some quieter times, but it's still just like bang.
Well, the other thing,
it's the perfect way to structure like a sort of mystery type story where you have the entire thing boxed by 90 minutes, so you don't waste hours and years and seasons on baloney that waste time. Like Lost?
Sure, yeah. Uh-huh.
Who lost the baloney?
It sets stuff up and it pays them off.
Yeah, I would say that the first season especially, like, the second season's still really good, but I don't think it is quite, I think it does quite as perfect a job as the first season of both.
I think it was just because there was more mystery in the first season.
Well, that's the thing, is that they both off that the character's arc. They pay off Tulip's arc from start to finish, and the overarching, like... the thing that's up with the world over the same couple episodes,
like how season two, like, you've already kind of seen behind the curtain, and it peels it back more in like really weird, unexpected ways. Like, I kind of liked seeing more of like the inner workings, like trying to figure out like
why the fuck does this train do that stuff.
Yeah,
and they don't take forever, and it is you know, again, because they're very time limited, you know, they're short episodes and relatively short seasons. They mostly show as opposed to like have someone describe to you like the things that are happening. Yeah. It's that part is very good.
Cuz like even like when with like the numbers, like, you see there's a correlation between what they're doing, but you don't really know what triggered it, cuz you don't always know like all of the main, like, either Tulip's or Jesse's backstories. Like, you don't know exactly what put them there or what they need, where their journey needs to take them, but you kind of can put it together. And then once you see, like, they both kind of have a big, like, aha moment for, like, both of them. Like, what put them here, essentially? But not even... It's still just kind of like a thesis statement, not the whole essay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get kind of, like, a full, like, closed circle with both of them with those two seasons, and it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Right. That's the advantage of having the anthology format, as opposed to just... If they'd taken Tulip, for example, and then just kept her the main character for the whole show, it would have been awful.
Yeah, like, I was really I was really worried about season two.
Try that, where they get an established thing, they get their success in season one, and then they just have to string it all out to keep from changing things.
Mm-hmm.
The main character is the setting, not necessarily the characters in the setting.
Well, like you said,
any town will have its own set of characters.
Sure,
but primarily within that season.
The crux is the world, not necessarily the individual players in it. They're just what you experience said world through.
Right. And like you said, they seem to dabble in the character, like the thing that's coming for the season after. Because I saw the description for the first episode of season three without watching it. So I'm like, oh, okay. I see the just like one to two, I see how they're transferring into the
There are strings between the seasons, even if like those main characters might never actually like interact. Like, most of the main characters from season one are nowhere to be seen in season two, but like the threads are there. Like, they're in the web, and the web is getting bigger.
Yeah, but the other thing I'll say is that we had just rewatched Gravity Falls, and then I was like, I'm in the mood for more, like, you know, weird high concept cartoon stuff. But really, the thing that I like about Infinity Train, like that I like about any of these series existing recently, is that they are like pretty different from each other. Like they're both high concept animated series about young people going through shit. But Gravity Falls is like totally serialized, and it's much sillier. Like that, like Gravity Falls is closer to like 30 Rock in my mind in terms of like it really just like fires off jokes. If a joke falls flat, that's fine. There's gonna be a new joke 10 seconds from now. Who gives a shit?
But they're all so really good jokes, though.
But that, but
not many fall. But.
Yeah.
But Infinity Train doesn't even try to do that. Like, it's really not that show. Like, like there isn't a character saying something like clever or snarky or
it's more
weird.
It's more like clever, like not like it's clever humor on like the fringe. Like there's weird things happening on the side. I just kind of want to like just mention like just Alan Dracula as a whole. Like
Alan Dracula's such
just
a cool character.
Like that's the comedy in all of season two. And that's fine.
But it,
like,
and it, but it is much more subdued and visual and chill. Like if every episode of Gravity Falls starts with like a cup of coffee, like every episode of Infinity Train starts with like some nice green tea.
Like, I was gonna make the tea comparison.
Get you moving in the morning, but you know it's not quite the
it's not a punch in the gut.
Yeah, right. The punch to the gut that like an espresso will give you or whatever. but that's not a knock against either of them. I'm just glad that they're both different and like both successful and both exist. Like I'm glad that the spectrum of modern TV animation will give you a show that is paced in each of those ways, basically. And yeah, it's just
I
really.
I don't know if they because the first two seasons are on Cartoon Network and the third one is exclusively on HBO Max. I didn't know. I don't know if they knew that when they were producing all three seasons.
Oh, right.
Probably not, I would assume.
Maybe.
I don't know.
The tone and just kind of the scope of the things that they tackle in season three are definitely things
darker.
That... Right, if you'd seen them on Cartoon Network, you'd be like, what the hell?
Okay.
But on the streaming service, you know, like, all right, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. This show isn't necessarily for dumb babies after Teen Titans.
Teen Titans Go, please.
Titans go away.
But kind of on your note, actually, Dustin, I watched this video from the this channel called Wisecrack. They do a lot of like kind of like in-depth looks at just a lot of different media and different aspects of media, and they recently did one on SpongeBob, like just kind of why a lot of people like in a various age group seem to like it. And the thing that they kind of hit on was, like, unlike most other shows geared towards a younger, like, the child, in quotes, demographic, it's not really about teaching lessons. It just kind of exists. Like, things just happen in SpongeBob. Sure, there are morals occasionally, but it's just, like, things are just happening all the time. Whereas if you look at stuff like your Hey Arnolds or, like, almost every, like, kind of these shows even, like, there's higher, like... concepts to it, essentially, but or they're like trying to be informative. They're like the younger even age where it's like, oh, like today we're gonna learn about bullies or that why stealing and cheating are bad. Whereas SpongeBob just kind of exists, and I had never even I hadn't really thought of that on my own, but it makes
a
lot of sense.
Really kind of goes the opposite direction because SpongeBob is not a relatable protagonist. He is kind of a villain in a lot of ways.
And like it's cool that that exists, like that something of that was able to get picked up and got steam, because you wouldn't see something like, especially like back when it started in the what, like very early 2000s, that wasn't really a concept.
Yeah, well,
shows like were just it was we're telling a story, whereas this is just like I don't know.
Realized.
Things are happening.
Well, that's the thing. I think SpongeBob is closer to like slice of life anime or like traditional sitcom, but like, you know, probably better scripted than even like, you know, a Friends or whatever. But it's like, you know, what are SpongeBob and his pals going to get up to this week? Like, it's not like will the like over the course of 15 episodes will the Krusty Krab go out of business? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not really what they're trading in. Which, like you said, is cool, but same thing, that it's just different and can exist on its own two legs. And I do think that's its strength, is that it is like when you said that and I was forming, like I was thinking the slice of life thing, I was like, you know what SpongeBob reminds me of? And this is the first thing that popped in my head for some reason. It's like SpongeBob is basically Polar Bear Cafe. It's like, and like those characters aren't going to grow or change in the way that they are in these other series that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But you know, they're going to be comforting and fun and they're going to be there and stuff is going to happen to them on an episode by episode basis. But I agree. And actually, SpongeBob is cool, like, that you just brought that up, because that's a show that doesn't pop to my mind immediately just because it's not a thing that I grew up with. But it's, I am glad that over time you've showed me Fistful's episodes from especially that early run.
We need to watch more. It's criminal.
The early run is real good.
It's so good. They are worth watching. And like I said, I was just not at the age. Like, I was just old enough.
And that, I understand. That makes sense.
In my gap of, like, all right, I'm either, like, late middle school or early high school, and I'm just not actively watching cartoons right now for, you know, I'm a big boy reasons.
I'm a big boy.
That's about where I was. Like, SpongeBob came out, and I was, you know, just old enough that I was like, nah, that's for dumb kids. And then I went to college and I was like, I should watch some SpongeBob.
And I still am.
I'm like a half step just that much younger, because I was watching it, like, sort of. Like, I also have younger sisters too, like, even younger than me,
right?
Which puts that even farther out of the rest of the age group,
right? Or even collective. If you weren't gonna tune into it yourself,
it
you would catch it,
yeah,
you know, out of the corner of your eye.
It was just
whatever.
On in our house, and I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Actively participated once I knew it was there, which is kind of a similar thing to like Gravity Falls or Over the Garden Wall or even Infinity Train. Like, I'm not necessarily trafficking in modern cartoons on TV. A, we don't have cable, and B, there's just a lot of stuff out there. I don't know where to start, like, parsing. But when I get a suggestion, and like, so far they've all been good. Like, you don't know until you look, essentially.
And so here's a thought, and you guys could either support or rebuke me, depending on how people might.
I'm gonna yell at you.
And I will.
Might feel about this opinion, that I'm gonna lay out. But I think that's pretty undisputable for the most part, that, like, on average, like, children's animated television has gotten better over time relative to how it was in, like, the 80s or 90s.
Definitely.
But I think the reason that is because of the way that media has shifted in consumption, and that, like, like, we have watched the first episode of Tailspin on a lark when we, like, one of the times we booted up Disney Plus. And that show is...
There what?
That was
forever ago. Old one, not new.
Yeah. This is the 90s thing.
The OG
like
one.
From 1990, whatever, whenever that came
Who
out.
Cares?
Like,
back
in the day.
I know what you mean.
And, you know, I remember really loving that show as a kid. Like, I was all about that shit. But going back to it, man, it is so. And I haven't checked out any of the other old stuff. I kind of want to check out a little bit of it. But yeah, but it is written in a manner that would have, like, you can tell that it was written in a manner that was designed to conform with, like, you know, a third grade reading level and to occupy a child's time on a Saturday morning so their parents didn't have to deal with them, like, and sleep in that day. Like, so that's not a failing of the creative minds behind it necessarily, but it is what they were targeting.
I think a big part of that is the rise of the internet and the ability to have more consistent understanding of what people want and what people are willing to give a shot to.
Yeah.
And it's a lot like board games in that way, where, you know, for the longest time, all you had was this tripe shit because no one thought that it was something that adults could or should do or participate in or enjoy in any capacity. And then someone went and made the first new thing that was geared for an older audience, and they were like, oh shit, this is really good. And then suddenly there was a demand, and, you know, the gates fucking broke open at that point.
Yeah, and I think that the last tail end of that thought is that, like, when you move platforms, like, the scope of your audience changes such that you can do, like, if you're making a thing for network television in the mornings, it is so much different than making a thing that'll be on cable TV, which is also so much different than making a thing that you think will have a primarily audience, like, on a streaming platform. Because on streaming, it's completely opt-in. On cable, you're splitting the difference a little bit. And on network TV, it's, you know, any eyeball you can trick into staring at it for 10 or 15 minutes at a time.
That's a win.
But yeah, I do think that, like, like I said, because the people who watched all those shows, you know, that informed the people who are creating these shows today. So I don't, I wanted to go to lengths to state that I don't think it's the fact that the people working on it behind the scenes were necessarily of a lower quality, but I think that creators today get so much more space to make a thing that is like, and they do a great job, especially with shows like Gravity Falls and Infinity Train or whatever.
A nice comparison to Tailspin would be the new DuckTales series.
Yeah.
Like, as a like reboot of sorts of another cartoon of that era, like
yeah, and it's way better.
It's so good. Like, I really enjoyed. What was it? The first two, three seasons?
Two, I think, of what we've seen.
Third is I think
there's
is
a third one that's
now.
Like, yeah, that's on Disney Channel or whatever. But
we watched those, the first two, and it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was really silly. It was very clever, and it had those roots, but there was more to it. So it's kind of like splitting the difference between that kind of cartoon and one like that the other ones we've been talking about. Like, there's longer overarching plots, there's deeper stories, there's deeper, like, just anything that, to the characters, the everything.
That DuckTales series succeeds where, you know, where modern Star Wars, like, has failed at most turns in Disney, where, like, where Disney tends to regurgitate Star Wars at people. But like that DuckTales series, like you're saying, Lorraine, is like definitively additive. Like, it is it is parts of the thing that you remember if you saw the old one as a kid, but they have made the world a little wider. They've expanded
the roster.
Like, yeah, and the differences between the characters, like the kids themselves, like Huey, Dewey, and Louie, are a little different than like in the old series. I couldn't tell you if there was any significant difference between any of them. They just had the same Donald
different
Duck
colors.
Voice and right, and they had different t-shirts or whatever.
But there's a She-Ra cartoon that's new that has that same sort of vibe going on. It's made by a queer woman who,
I've heard it's good. I haven't seen it
that's
myself.
On Netflix,
yeah, it's on
isn't
Netflix.
It yeah
mm-hmm.
It's on my list of things to maybe watch at some point, but because I was never invested in the original, like,
sure.
Like, I didn't care a fuck about He-Man.
What's right. He-Man?
Uh-huh. Are those related?
I think so. I think that's the same universe.
She appeared in Masters of the Universe, if I remember correctly, is like a something
yeah,
or other.
Yeah, she became, like, she was there, like,
she was the girl.
Someone had the idea of, well, if we made a woman He-Man, we could sell dolls to girls.
Yeah, right, that was exactly it. They were like, the He-Man toys are popular with little boys, we need more toys that are popular with little girls.
Wasn't there more on that,
and
that, like, that the stuff
the toys
that,
series.
Yeah.
Toys That Made Us, whatever.
Toys That Made Us. That was very
those
interesting. That
those
was
are,
a really
those
cool.
Those were entertaining watches.
Uh-huh.
Yes. But, yeah, they apparently just wanted to run a show that was like all of the princesses in that universe and the struggles that they go through, and it's apparently very good.
Yeah, I've heard positive things.
Without any investment in the original, it's so hard for me to be like, I don't
right. It goes
really
like
care
you.
About these characters.
It's a thing that you want to check out at some point, but you know, got to keep checking stuff off the list.
Like the. DuckTales is much higher on my list.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and like I said, it is solid in an added fashion, and I think it like the throwback stuff that it does is clever too, because it's not just like they whenever they bring a thing back from that old series, if you're familiar with it, usually the episode around it, like either the individual arc or the performance themselves, is like solid. Like there's a whole Darkwing Duck episode.
Oh yeah.
That is like if you're an old ass man like me, you're like, I remember that.
Right. I remember Darkwing Duck.
But also, it's a really good episode.
Yeah,
that's
it
just
was super
more
cute.
Generally, like the plot is like about modern superhero movies, and like it's pretty solid
man,
in its own right.
Yeah, oh,
and you break
God.
Down to like a fun like twist ending thing. Like
it's really
not
good.
Just a factory for
yeah, it's not just hey, here's a whole episode of Darkwing Duck because you're 30 something and you remember what Darkwing Duck is.
Even, like even before that though, like there was references to it. Like
yeah,
it's
they
piece of media
in
the universe.
Yeah.
Like they talk about it a handful of times before that, and
yeah,
then
like,
it culminates in this episode, and it's really
the
funny.
Callbacks they do to other Disney stuff are really clever and really well done. Like there's a sight gag that I think is the only way that Mickey Mouse is referenced, and
oh
it appears
God.
For like 10
oh
seconds,
it's
and it's
so
fucking
funny.
Hilarious. It's just a very
it's
funny
really,
bit.
It's really good.
that
was
they,
near
like,
the
they
end
do stuff
of the
like
second
that
season.
A lot.
That was so funny.
It's been more common, especially with Disney. Like, you've got the Amphibia episode in this season that is entirely Gravity Falls, so...
yeah, they...
That's another...
But yeah, like, across the board, right, from Disney to Cartoon Network to wherever else, like I said, I think that just... the people are allowed to to take more chances and mm-hmm. have more like vision that is less tampered with, because these aren't enormous, you know, it's not a $300 million movie, like
yeah.
there just aren't people breathing right. down these people's necks to
as much
right, and to the same extent yeah. yeah.
The culture is still changing quickly, like so here's a little interesting tidbit that give I get from tidbits. Following a couple of these creators on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Back when Alex Hirsch made Gravity Falls, Disney put a strict no on queer characters. They mm-hmm. were like, no, we don't want that. You know, 7-8 years later or 10 years later, God, time is weird.
Yeah,
right.
Owl House comes out, which is made by Dana Terrace, I think, uh-huh. Who worked on Gravity Falls. Mm. And they were like, yeah, queer character, go for it. And that's just how, like, you know, a small amount of time has mm-hmm. has really opened up a lot of freedom.
Right.
For the Disney Channel, the cable channel, does that even exist anymore?
Yeah, it's yeah. still around. I think they're still, all of them, like, I think Disney Channel and Disney XD, and there might be one or two more.
I couldn't tell you at this
point. At minimum,
those
two are still, like, you know, you can call your Comcast or your whatever else and be like, yeah, I want this, and they'll sell it to you. But
I wonder with what Wade was just saying, like, because I know a lot of, like, Gravity Falls and stuff was pushed onto the first XD and then onto their website
mm-hmm.
off of their cable network. Like, so if you have a queer character on a show that's on a cable network cable episode, some housewife Karen from Kansas sees that and raises holy hell. But if you put that on the internet on a streaming site, they'll never see it.
Yeah, because right. the thing there is that I do think
more
that
likely to let that stuff hit the air.
Sure. Well, yeah. The other thing there with, like, when you're talking about queerness specifically, and this is the other reason, like, you know, like, they'll
also just, we are all
yeah, like, go for it.
We are
disclaimer that we don't know what we're talking about.
None of us have any actual space in here, or not very much, as uh-huh. far as I don't know everyone's in depth of everyone's personalness, but we're
personalness.
We are not experts in this mm-hmm. field, nor do we claim to be.
I'm a basic cisgendered white man.
You do
that's,
it.
You know, that's my lane. but the other thing I was going to say, that isn't really like, I'm not trying to, like, it's not speaking, I'm speaking more to the tenor of, let's just say America, I guess, not even
gross.
The world. That, like, you know, Disney will say, you know, they'll give tacit acknowledgments to, like, race stuff on Twitter, maybe, or something, but they won't codify that almost ever in, like, narratives.
Mm.
Whereas queer stuff, I think they have more opened up to just because, like, they're not leading the charge, they're following trends.
Yeah.
Like, queer
yeah.
stuff they've opened up to because, on average, people are way more okay with queerness than they were 10 years ago. Not because
right.
Disney has some bold vision of
no.
how they're gonna, like, help no. engender understanding among people.
God, no.
They're just following the money, which, you know, is still good at the end of the day, because
it can push needles. Like,
well, because it, right, it empowers yeah. more creators from those spaces to mm-hmm. get projects done, and it makes more people feel welcome, but
it
it's not
of, like,
you know,
in a way it kind of normalizes it a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't hurt. It certainly doesn't hurt for
does.
sure, but it, I'm just like, you know, don't
there's
don't
no
give
grand
them,
intentions
right,
behind
don't give
this.
Them
it's
too much credit for being ahead
no,
of the game
no,
when
no,
they're
no.
He's
they, are,
get his.
They are behind or at they are, mm-hmm. or at
the curve,
you know, the tenor of where everybody
yeah.
else is, yeah, which, like I said, is still better than not moving, mm-hmm. certainly, but
some statement is better than no statement at all in some cases.
And yeah, especially for, right, like getting people
awareness.
Into those spaces,
yeah.
awareness and getting people into those spaces who, like, have had a hard time getting, you know, a vision that is
mm-hmm.
somewhere, like, in a queer space of a project and stuff done is, like, that's great. That is only for the good. But yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, if anyone else has a thing specifically to throw out. I'm just like, so that's just been a, like, going down that rabbit hole of just watching some of those other series that we watched recently. Like, we watched Last Airbender again.
Mm-hmm.
And
still
Korra.
Great.
Yeah,
and Korra.
That recently.
Like, it's been all of the things we just went over have been, like, lighthouses of positivity in a world of poop.
Definitely agree. I've been saving my Owl House episodes for when I'm having kind of shit days, and it is always a good idea because that show is fucking marvelous for anyone who hasn't seen
have
it.
Have you just been snatching those up, like, on the DL where you can find them? Is there no legit way to just check that stuff out right now.
If it's not on Disney XD or Disney's streaming Disney service, Plus. Then no. And okay. I'm not 100% positive either way.
I don't remember. I'd have
so to this doesn't apply to us specifically, but I do think, because I did try to, I tried to find if there was like a legit way to watch Owl House, and I think if you have an active cable subscription, you can like watch them all digitally. Like you don't have to wait for it to be on the Disney Channel. You can sign into a different like website or app or whatever and just watch them, you know, a la carte at your own pace. But you have to have access to, you know, yours or somebody else's cable package that has the Disney Channel in it to do that.
Which is disgusting and outmoded.
Right, which is lame. But I'm sure like
Comcast will never die.
Like hopefully either around they'll the time where they decide where that Disney show right like where that show that gets a season two or doesn't, like they'll put it the first one on like a Disney Plus or whatever.
I believe it was already confirmed for another season.
It just sucks that it takes so long for they have the streaming platform and yet they're like gatekeeping their
well, especially for that stuff where it's like, you know, with the movies you get it because they're like definitively like one revenue stream is kind of cannibalizing the other one, but like the lines are kind of already drawn at that point. Like you said, like the fact that we have to ask the question of whether the Disney Channel exists is telling about content that only exists on the Disney Channel. Like, come on, guys.
I can only assume that there are contracts in place that if you put something on a cable network,
you're
obligated to keep it exclusive to the cable channel for X months before you can put it on a streaming service.
Right. But that show is basically like Gravity Falls 2.0. It's got the exact same feel to it. Like, exactly.
This time it's a square! It's not a pier!
Different shapes. Everything's different.
Three sides good, four sides bad.
Oh man. But yeah, that stuff's
I live.
Been...
Oh god.
Yay.
I had dinner show up, so I disappeared to eat dinner.
That is fair.
I was kinda wondering.
Food is important.
Welcome back to cartoons.
I have not eaten today.
That's no good.
But also I got up like an hour and a half ago because fuck my body.
That's not good either.
Yeah.
Man, you know what?
I assure you it wasn't intentional.
I wish I could have woken up an hour ago. But, you know, despite it not being a great thing, but...
Just to have had the sleep.
I could use a solid 24-hour sleep day.
We all can sometimes for, you know, for better or worse.
24-hour power down
feel like you need to not be awake, yeah.
Is that a 24-hour nap in the space of an hour?
Man, there's a superpower.
Man, oh, that'd be sick.
You might get sick.
24-hour week-long Jack Bauer power hour.
My head hurts.
On the topic of what this podcast is about, I forgot that it was about like cartoons that have been watched.
Yeah.
And it's like I've watched a few episodes of Last Airbender, and we're like four episodes into the first season, and you know, it's
that it's, first season takes a little bit to get going.
Yeah, the thing we said to Mike was that it really is like
it's a world building season.
Yeah,
and then the story really hits.
Charitable.
Man, once that second season starts, you never let up on the gas.
I mean, even just like the finale.
Once they get to the North Pole, I think
that's true.
Pretty much good.
I'm aware of that, I've only watched so much of it, of The Last Airbender, you know, before this, but it's just the kind of thing that, you know, I just gotta do it.
And that's one of those other things with like with the volume of content there is in the world, like slow burn TV is like you definitely have to check in with other people to like, is it really worth it? Cause there's so many other things that I could put on right now.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and the way that the world building is in the first season, that is definitely a dated process.
That was just sort of the result of they didn't even know if there was going to be second season.
Yeah.
But that's cool. Yeah. I hope you guys managed to muster through and watch more of it, because I do think, like I said, even on our rewatch, like you could tell that the first season was like pretty slow, but once it really builds up steam, they really
they don't stop.
Brian, I unequivocally hold Avatar as the best TV that has ever existed. Unequivocally,
a lot of people would agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it's up
like
there, for sure.
But like in the last, I don't know, 2 weeks or so, I haven't watched any TV. Like, once I finished Mr. Robot Season 4, that was, like, the last TV thing that I watched.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's kind of the opposite of, you know, good,
yeah,
positive things,
right,
and, like,
uh-huh,
feel-good stuff. But it was, I mean, it's really good. It's,
uh-huh,
just, it's dark and like...
Sometimes you gotta eat your vegetables.
Yeah. Need my my daily dose of morbidity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard really great things. That show is on a short list of live action stuff that I want to watch at some point. I just haven't gotten around to it, but I've heard it's,
yeah,
good.
it's super good because it's, you know, it's kind of an outlandish concept, but and it's like there's a lot of hacking in it, but it's like real life hacking. You know, they don't. They don't
push a keyboard for 30 seconds and then say we're in the firewall.
Oh, thank God.
they don't embellish it,
uh-huh,
you know. they did a good job of maintaining the realism with it. So even like the characters and shit being kind of outlandish and far-fetched don't seem all that outlandish and far-fetched because the setting is well presented.
Neat.
Yeah, that's cool. But yeah, we'll have to check back in if you get the chance to watch more Avatar. Have you guys been watching anything else, or has that kind of been it? Like you said, finishing up the other stuff that you've been watching too?
That's kind of been it. Like, we just put on the first episode of season 3 of Aggressico.
Okay. Mm.
Aggressico is so... I have so many weird opinions about Aggressico.
It is a
weird show.
The thing is, like, it's very culturally Japanese,
uh-huh,
right?
And mm-hmm, so, like, unless you're willing to immerse yourself in that part of it, it feels really weird and awkward in a lot of ways because you end up going, this makes no fucking sense. Like, why are they behaving like this? Because it is more or less, like... a true to Japanese slice of life kind of show with an outrageous main character,
right?
So
it's all three seasons of it have had very weirdly different messaging to them, which has been kind of jarring for me. I'm like halfway through the third season now.
Okay,
but I mean, to be fair, it's also like, you know, it's not like out of its element in the sense that, you know, people in that young adult age go through like every year can be a different type of life that you're living, so it's not super unusual in that way.
Yeah.
I have one other really big thought that I'm going to drop on people, but first I want to open the
floor.
Him
doing a big thing
for anyone else to throw out any series that they, anything that they are currently watching or that they think they intend to watch in the near future, just to see what might be on people's plate. If anyone's got anything like that.
I don't have anything on my plate right now.
All
right.
Just in case anyone hasn't seen or heard of them, you better sit your ass down and watch The Dragon Prince and Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beasts.
Pretty good.
Oh man, all right. it's gonna go down. Things are gonna happen. So I'll go ahead and get into it. This is the thing that I'm going to throw out there, and I'm definitely going to do a rewatch either by myself or with Lorraine, depending on how she feels like doing it. But I have struggled with the last like 6 months to figure out what my opinions are on the Dragon Prince, and I think what I've settled on right now is that they're like almost completely neutral. like I definitely don't dislike it. Like no part of it is explicitly off-putting to me, but like. You talk about things in like that are adjacent to Avatar in terms of like some
right.
of the people who were creatively involved with them.
Right.
I rewatched Avatar and liked it as much or more as the first time. I rewatched Korra and liked it probably a little bit more definitively than like the first time, because that
Agreed.
Was the first time I'd watched it, like binged it, like that I watched it all through like episode after episode. And we've only done one watch of The Dragon Prince, and it was spread out across, like, you know...
I think
we watched, like, the first two seasons
all
in a row, and then the third one as it came out, like, once it came out, or whatever, because, you know, it's Netflix. They drop all the episodes at once. And there's just, like... Other than wanting to re-expose myself to it, to, like, to check if my opinions have changed or not. There's like no part of me that is like those other two where like, I want to go back and watch that. Like I'm just totally. And I'll give you two reasons for why I think that is, like having tried to self-analyze myself. The first one is that I think it is both like, I think it both suffers from, especially in the early going, like this is probably more first season than anything. It suffers from like the slow build that the early parts of Avatar had, and then also simultaneously to me feels like a little too fast. Like that was the thing that I had said to you, Lorraine, way back in the day, is that like I feel like over the course of the 12 or whatever episodes there are in that first season, that like the team comes together a little too quickly and a little too cleanly, in a way that I think could even be circumvented if you just like change the underlying relationships of those characters to each other in the world, maybe. Because in my in my mind, it's like if like the open the starting to the start of the Dragon Prince, the way that those the main cast comes together is like if you tried to make Aang a firebender and then have those characters have the same arc, like from the start of that series to where they get by the end of like the first season, like because there's no explicit bad blood like historically between Katara and you know Sokka and Aang.
But you see, they're like they have that immediate reaction to Zuko because he's Fire Nation.
Right, but the world of the Dragon Prince, they do that.
Yeah.
It's like these characters that come together and become allies.
It's Zuko being the Avatar,
right,
and meeting up with Katara
like they
and
start
Zuko,
with the
Aaron,
historical
Sokka.
Context of this world where they do not like each other. Like at a minimum, the thing you can say about those characters from like their backgrounds is that like they are not cool with each other.
I mean, attempted assassination, a lot of regicide will do that.
The thing that Avatar actually didn't do super well is that it didn't portray Aang as wanting to be friends with the Fire Nation more in the early episodes, since he slept through the entire war, and realistically, he should not have been predisposed to be wary of them when he woke up. And sort of in the same vein, Rayla's as a character is a lot more like Aang, in that she doesn't really want to hurt anyone. She just wants shit to be over.
Yeah, like that. But that part I think does work, like her personal struggle of like that part. I think that makes sense. Yeah,
and I'm already struggling to remember the two male leads, so maybe that's to your point.
Yeah, that's another part of it. I had to look them up again. It's Callum and I looked these up today.
Sokka. It's Callum and Sokka.
Callum is Sokka, isn't
is he?
I
think that's Callum is Sokka.
Okay. Yeah. And then the other one is I just looked this up like 2 hours ago.
Freaking king.
Is his name start with
Ezrin?
Ezrin,
yeah.
So, like, that's Ezrin being fucking 8 years old or whatever he is in the show.
But also, like, a wunderkind.
I think that does more favors to the problem that you just mentioned, because he doesn't.
He's a little more wide eyed.
That prejudice, right?
Yeah.
He's got the wide eyes. And I think Callum has sort of deliberately, as a character, stayed away from trying to grow up a bit. Like he's just in that teenage part where everything is about him.
Sure.
And he doesn't really care about anything else in the world.
Yeah. And thinking about it, go ahead, finish your thought.
Like I in the first season, it did feel a tiny bit jarring for them to figure out their group dynamic as quickly as they did, but at the same time it felt more natural because they spend the first half of the first season, even most of the first season, kind of distrusting each other and kind of getting in each other's ways because of it, in a way that like the Avatar group never really did.
And the thing about that is that like I think that like, and this isn't the only thing they do to bring those characters together, but I think the thing for me is like the big inflection point is that it is as much, I think, the things that they do together as it is like the Deus Ex Machina of the egg. Because this is why I need to rewatch it to actually like see all these episodes again and recall it. But like that part I remember is just like, oh, now they're able to band together in this moment, not explicitly because of
them.
The actions that they see each other doing, but because they like see the curtain pulled back, that this big thing that they were fighting over, like it's okay, it can be fixed.
And I think some of that has to do with like the way the like conflict is set up, because like in Avatar, they have a direct adversary. It's Zuko. He shows up immediately. Mm-hmm. Their qualm is with him, even before they find out that Aang's the Avatar. Like, he's just being chased by this dude who just showed up.
He's a dickhole.
Who mm-hmm. Katara and Sokka have a predetermined reason to dislike him.
Yeah.
And I think Aang kind of contracts that. I think that's why, kind of to your point, Wade, that he isn't super friendly with them, because they're attacking the people he already knows. Right. Like, if it had been like...
That's exacerbated when they go to the air temple and he sees all the fire.
He gets the context then, even if he didn't have it then.
They get there a few episodes in or whatever.
Right. Well, once he gets there, I think it completely fleshes out where his character's trajectory is. Mm-hmm. But up until that point, it feels a little. I don't know if jarring is quite the right word.
No, I just think it's not concrete. Like, you don't know exactly. Like, you kind of are with Aang a little bit, because you don't know what's happened. And, like, Sokka and Katara kind of do, because they know some of the stories that they've heard about the war and everything. But no one has the proof until they see the temple. And that's when it kind of, like, gets pushed from theoretical to real at that point. Whereas in The Dragon Prince, like, there isn't really a villain that everyone sees until kind of near like the end of the third season.
Sure. And
like there's an actual confrontation. Like there's just looming threats. There's this war that's been going on. Like we know the people from Zadia. Like
it helps that in Dragon Prince there's not really like the two that are warring, neither of them has committed genocide. And in Avatar, genocide was very much on the menu.
Oh, it's on the menu in Dragon Prince?
Well,
it hasn't happened yet. This is pre-genocide.
They kind of build to that over the course of...
There's regicide, though.
Which, you know...
Multiple cases.
Yeah, regicide.
we got a new case.
And to be fair, like... some of these problems, I think they definitively opted into because they're trying to spin a lot of plates. Like,
right.
Like Dragon Prince is like, I guarantee you... At some part of the descriptive process, they were like, this is like Game of Thrones, but for kids. Like,
right.
Like, I mean, like the number of things that like, are going on and the number of people who have interests in doing what.
Which
I would almost say that, like, Avatar did that better in a way, like, because it wasn't trying to emulate something else. It was doing that, like, there's so many different parties coming together at multiple points in time, people with different agendas. You see, like, between, like, the confrontation at, like, the North Pole. There's so many different people going into this with different objectives
and all
like
that.
Things.
And that's where Avatar as a long form show really shines in
I
a way that Dragon Prince doesn't, because it's trying a little too hard and a little too fast to be the same thing.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that it comes out as a season. Oh, it's meant to be binged.
And they do have fewer episodes. Like, they're not 20 episode network TV orders. They're 12 at a time or whatever.
And I think a lot of the differences that are kind of, like, hang-up-y are on, like, medium it's presented in a sense, like, how it's being distributed, and kind of just how other media is influencing it at the time. Like, you can see the roots from Avatar in Dragon Prince, but also other things, where Avatar was a little bit more... like it was
its own beast.
Yeah, it was a little bit fresher at the time, whereas Dragon Prince feels like Avatar Plus, sort of. That's a really unfair comparison to make for Dragon Prince.
I was going
to
call it store brand Avatar.
Damn!
Kroger Avatar.
But yeah, value Avatar. Yeah.
True value, you know what we're talking?
That's fair. The other two thought...
I shouldn't say that like as a knock. It's not fair to compare things to Avatar. Like,
yeah, right. And really like I said, I don't think it is...
In this case, it's a little bit more on the nose just because of the pedigree.
And this is just like the conversation...
They're definitely framing it as in the vein of Avatar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is just on the same... go ahead.
The directors for the show even said, this was bottled lightning, we have no fucking clue how we did this.
Avatar?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because Dragon Prince is still on the continuum for me of, like, it's just like Hollow Knight. Like, it is better than, you know, most of the stuff that gets on TV, like, taken whole cloth. It's just that as good as some of the best stuff, you know, that I've had the privilege of checking out. So that's, like, part of it. But, yeah, the other two things I have about Dragon Prince. Again, just kind of thinking is that, like thinking of it holistically after watching those three seasons and wanting to kind of, like, recheck them out again. Because I do think the end of the third season is the most satisfied I've been with it so far.
Yeah.
Because that's the one point, like it feels like they finally got to a
something
point where
happened.
The, right, where the world something is in a state happened. That I care about the future of the world mm-hmm. more so than in the first or second season for me personally. Like, I feel like they really brought something to a head there. But like,
I think in the first and second season, the stakes just aren't there because you don't know for certain where people stand.
Like
but
I said,
by the third season,
the
you're
whole,
like, oh, shit,
thing.
Uh-huh. If someone gets like, caught, they're going to die.
Right.
You know?
Like, it's the fact that there is an actual, like, seasons. There's a face to the antagonist, essentially. Like, in the character's eyes, like, we know he's there the entire time, basically, because we're omniscient, essentially, because they zoom us all over the place.
Third person omniscient, yeah.
Part of the fun of the first couple seasons is just seeing all these characters set up and then watching some of them become better people and some of them become real dickheads.
Right, some of them become worse people. Mm-hmm. Definitively worse people.
Right, and I think that's fun to see the gray area of the world kind of take shape and, all right, these become the bad guys, these become the good guys.
And right, and
watch them play
honestly,
off
I absolutely love that the antagonist has a perspective that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, it's not where my mind would have gone in his position, but I understand why his mind did.
Right. He's not a one-dimensional supervillain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like something that Avatar didn't do. Like,
right,
I couldn't get into Ozai's head. Ozai was just an asshole for no reason.
Ozai was not very deeply developed.
But right, yeah, the antagonist in Dragon Prince, he wants what's best for his kingdom. He just is also set, like, both set in his ways
dick.
And also prejudiced, so...
turns into a fantasy world Hitler.
Well,
Zuko is much more like that, and I guess like that's like where you draw the line on antagonist because he comes around to be an ally by the end of that series, but like certainly in the early goings.
I will maintain Avatar is not a series about Aang, it's a series about Zuko.
Right, like him and like Zuko has the biggest arc in that whole show. And Iroh to like probably has the second biggest arc.
Right.
Honestly,
not only
even
that,
like,
but Zuko has like the biggest climax in the show with his fight with Azula.
Uh-huh.
I would even put Katara and Sokka up there too, like above Aang in terms of arcs.
Uh-huh.
Like
right.
Aang
doesn't really do a whole lot of growth.
He realizes himself
really
in a different way.
An 8-year-old being a 12-year-old or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Right.
He kind of already knows where he stands going into the series. If you think about it, though, like he's been training so far. Like he's already an airbending master by the time he gets frozen. And
sure, but I mean, even like
no, yeah.
So there's a post that I had made on this thread online about this very topic because the whole issue at the end of the series about him not wanting to kill Ozai was a perfect opportunity for him to have his moment of growth, and he doesn't do it. Maybe because the network didn't want him to murder a man, which, you know, that's fair. But the idea that, like, when Aang sits down to meditate and talk to the past avatars about what he should do to Ozai, he goes through the list of his three favorite avatars that he always talks to, and they're like, you should probably kill this guy. And then he's like, I know what the problem is. I'm not talking to an airbender. And he summons up an avatar airbender from the past, and she's like, oh man, I am so glad you talked to me. You are completely right. But also, you're the fucking avatar, and your job isn't to be spiritually healthy. Your job is to make the world better. So fucking kill him. And like, that is a wild, cool moment, ripe for growth. And instead of growing, a turtle shows up out of nowhere, and he learns how to take away bending, which is just bullshit.
I don't think compromising your personal beliefs is necessarily growth, though.
I think
it is for the avatar, because the avatar's job isn't to be healthy. The avatar's job is to make the world healthy, even if it costs the avatar their health or their life, because that's exactly what happened with Roku, when Roku tried to stop a volcano from killing people. Like, he sacrificed his goddamn life so that other people could live. And like that was his job. He knew it was his job.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys want me to try to appease everyone? I think I have a solution that can make.
I think we just agree that Wade's wrong.
No, I agree with Wade wholeheartedly.
So here's the thing: I don't know that you could get away with having a character like Aang straight up kill Ozai at the end of that series. But at the same time, I get the criticism of it being like. That it is kind of the way that he comes to a solution is also kind of like a lame Deus Ex Machina kind of thing.
The lion turtle obnoxious.
So here's how you meet both of those things, if you want to. And again, personally, I'm totally fine with the end of Avatar. Like that's how I feel about it. It doesn't bug me one way or another. But if you really wanted to go the extra mile and like slightly step outside of people's expectations without just having Aang kill a dude. I think the way you do that is you do the other thing they suggest earlier on is that you have him not be with Katara at the end specifically for like that's his self-sacrifice. It's not like I'm going to sacrifice my morals. It's like it is that I am literally going to become more detached in the way that I need to be to summon the will to do the other thing. Like and that's the thing that gives him the power to take away bending or whatever it is through.
If that had unlocked his you know, Avatar potential to take away bending, that would have felt better than the turtle doing it. But also the root criticism there is that, you know, hundreds or thousands of years of avatars have existed, or cycles of avatars, and that power did not exist. There was no reason to believe it could or would exist. So the idea of hoping that it would exist is like it just felt wrong and out of left field. And
yeah, I don't know, that's not a thing that occurred to me while I was watching it, but I like after the fact, like hearing you describe it, like I understand why like some people would feel that way.
And to the point of not showing out and out murder, like,
well, sure, yeah. Like, I'm not
later,
saying
that they go right on to Legend of Korra with murder suicides.
Right, like, I'm not saying he like pulls out a handgun, like puts six rounds into Ozai's back or whatever.
Fire
like.
King. Fire Lord.
But I think like the last thing I'll say, looping way back around to Dragon Prince again, is my final criticism of that show, which again I do want to rewatch to like recheck myself on this, but this is the part that I was most confident in through the first watch through, is that I do think that show has more, in my opinion, it has more tone problems across its entire cast than Avatar ever had.
I've noticed that too.
Where like
especially the older son, not Cal, but
yeah, him and his sister both I think are the biggest offenders. Yeah. But like somebody brought up Teen Titans at some point, and I was thinking like the original Teen Titans series, not the newer one. Like I remember that show being really fun at the time, and I haven't watched it recently, but that
it doesn't hold up super well.
But that show at least like it has characters that are like, you know, they're very kind of stereotypical, but they have a lane that they exist in. Like Raven's the mopey one, and Starfire's the wide eyed, you know, she's naive. Robin's the leader, and Cyborg is strong, and Beast Boy is silly.
Borg is black, please. That's obviously what they were going for.
Damn.
At the time.
Shh.
No.
Diversity.
Right.
But in Dragon Prince, I feel like every single character
tries to
like,
be all of those.
I feel like every single character is affable and funny and a little bit of a third thing. Like, and I don't know why that is. Like, I don't know if it's they just had like such a volume of like one-off silly lines of dialogue that they couldn't constrain themselves to like a few people, that everybody has to be able to like suck it up a little bit.
I was just about to say, even since Korra, it felt like whoever originally wrote for Sokka left the cast, and everyone was like, Sokka, people like Sokka, right? So they just write every character like Sokka.
Because that's the and not only do I feel like they do that too often in the Dragon Prince, I feel like they do it too often in times where it is like super unwarranted. Like the moments in the, I think it's the first season where now I forget his name, big boy, like the night guy who is the bad guy's son, is tasked with killing Ezrin or whatever,
right.
And it is like both. He is doing it. That he is trying to do,
but
that,
he's
and it has real
and goofy,
right,
and
it has real stakes in the plot. And also, it is like a Wile E. Coyote episode. Like it is both of those things at the same moments.
It's wild.
And when in the second season, I think it is, where he gets paralyzed or whatever, and his sister has to, you know, summon horrible dark magics and, like, you know, bring back his legs or whatever. Horror. I feel like it's almost the same shit, where, like it is, like, jokey-joke, and then this horrible, super important thing happens, and then jokey-joke, and it's just, like, that shit just doesn't work for me when you, like, whip me back and forth between, like, those emotional realms like that.
I agree with that, definitely.
They even had a quick moment after he got paralyzed where it looked like he was actually dealing with the ramifications of
and then they pull away from it almost instantly
in 3 minutes.
That
when Chewbacca died,
and those are things where I don't think Avatar or Korra stumble to quite the degree that show does with shit like that, which
Sokka was the original. Sokka was so well written and had a crazy amount of growth, and his
He does. He has an arc, too. You know, it's not the biggest arc in that show, but he has one.
He has tact.
and his humor made sense. He used it when the tone was light and appropriate for it, or when he was high, whichever.
That only happened, like, the one time.
Sure, or even, like, the blurry lines of that are, like, he might say something funny, like in a burst of like something crazy happening, like, you know, like I'm teetering on a ledge, and then he's panicking, but I feel like in Dragon Prince it is much more like they look at the camera
and like
and like
wink and
right
nod,
and wink at you, like, and like, here's a funny thing that I'm gonna say, and then the plot will continue.
Watch this.
It's a really fine line at some point, but I
like Dragon Prince, though.
Like I said, I like it too. I think it is above average for sure, but it just does not. And you know, again, is that fair? I don't know.
No, it does not
live up to The Last Airbender or even for me, Korra.
I think I'm of the same mind.
But those are both, in my opinion, really good shows, especially The Last Airbender. So,
but to that end, I also encourage everyone to watch Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beasts, because that is very original and basically everything it does.
I've heard positive things, not much about it, but I know of it and that
I
people
will
like
put
it.
That on the list.
On Netflix.
Well, say maybe we'll check that out a little after we finish this last season of Infinity Train.
I mean right now cartoons are really in the heyday of, hey, so there's this post-apocalyptic world that I want you to check out, and Kipo is very much in that realm.
Okay.
But it takes a very different spin on it. That's like, it's a little like Adventure Time, but instead of erring towards magic and weirdness, it's just mutants and weirdness.
Okay.
But it does a very good job of taking you on this weird ass journey through the world, and so far it's been very, very good.
Neat.
And also, and importantly, the art style is goddamn phenomenal. And
yeah, I've seen some stills.
Completely unique.
And was very impressed.
Very cool.
Ain't no show looks like this.
Cool. Yeah. Well, that's perfect. And I think we'll leave it at that, because we got, you know, a lot of thoughts about a lot of things we've already watched. We've got one hot recommendation from Wade about a thing
woo-woo.
That, you know, some number of us can watch in the near future. We'll definitely check it out at some point. And yeah, I think that'll basically call it a show.
Wahoo.
But yeah, I would endorse.
You should watch Boruto. That's Naruto's son.
Don't hate on people that like unless it's Teen Titans or One Piece, those are okay.
But One Piece has no filler. That's the best part about it.
Right.
What was that, like 4 to 5 years it has left on it?
Yeah, 5-ish years before One
Thank
Piece
goodness.
Is done. A few hundred more episodes.
Man, I don't know if
I'm going to continue to hate every shonen that ever exists.
Dragon Ball's fun, okay?
Right, that is a whole other podcast.
Watch JoJo's.
And I'm sure that goes true for people like Naruto or even One Piece. Like,
I know lots of people who swear by JoJo's, like tons of them, so there's got to be something going on there.
Yeah.
I tried so hard. I watched like 4 episodes. It was like, this is shit.
Oh man. Okay, so you have a personal problem, friend. So first off, the first 4 episodes ain't shit. And second, come on. You need a little bit more gayness in your life. And JoJo's is just gay enough.
That's true. Like from having very little experience with JoJo's, I can tell you that it is.
I've got
just gay enough. It's the perfect.
Some of my friends retweet a lot of JoJo art, so I get exposed to a lot of that. And yes, I can confirm it is very gay.
That's great. So yeah, we've got something for everyone. You want some nostalgia? You want some solid new shit? You want something that's just gay enough?
Just gay enough.
Check out any of the things we've mentioned today.
While you slowly while away.
Kyle, JJ wanted me to inform everyone in our group that Dragon Ball Heroes has officially made Trunks go Super Saiyan God while he's fighting Janemba, which is a fucking sentence. That show.
That's not real Dragon Ball. That's just like fan fiction Dragon Ball.
Good.
I mean, all made by Akira Toriyama or whatever.
Huh. So Dragon Ball...
or whatever.
When people say that Dragon Ball is good and fun, my brain goes, oh, the original series Dragon Ball, which was good and fun, not Dragon Ball Z, not Dragon Ball Super, not Dragon Ball GT, because the original Dragon Ball was actually a lot of fun and much better than its successors.
Have you rewatched Dragon Ball lately?
Yeah. I mean, it does drag, but it's
old.
Sure. Right, guys. It suffers from the original... shonen problem of just that there are too many fucking episodes.
I mean, to be fair, it was a manga in the 90s.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, like, I can forgive it for being a product of its age. I cannot forgive all the modern ones for following in its footsteps blindly.
They're just giving you a bowl of ice cream every week, all right? Shut up and eat it.
All right, yeah, I am putting the lid on this conversation right now because I would have no problem getting back together next week and having a anime-focused, mostly shonen-centric episode. So,
I'll bring the shoujo. Let's fucking go.
It'll just be me yelling.
Great.
Well, then let's get into it. I'm into this. All right. Next time we'll go to Japan in our minds. Lorraine can bring us transformation sequences and beautiful dresses, and we can all just yell until our hair turns orange.
Guys, opai means boobs.
And that's the show. Okay.
Thank you, Lorraine, for joining me. Thank you, Brian, Wade, and Kyle for sharing your opinions on cartoons, good and great.
And bad.
Never forget.
Didn't even talk about Amphibia.
Well, we haven't watched it yet. I need to see it still.
We need to watch. Yeah, I watched like an episode.
All right,
we'll finish Infinity Train, and then we'll keep on.
We'll get
rolling.
There. We've got more. Toot toot.
Yeah. Well, I would talk. At this point, I'll talk about cartoons whenever, because like I said, they're one of the only things that make me happy.
It's true.
They are the joy bringer in these days of darkness.
So yeah, we'll be back with some video game stuff at some point, more cartoons for sure,
and more depression.
We can talk about whatever's bringing us down.
Yay!
That's right.
It's mostly shonen. Let's be real.
There's no end to that river. Mm-hmm.
So until the next...
At least it doesn't have any filler like One Piece.
Until the next fighting tournament.
Wahoo!
We'll see you later, Internet.
Bye!
Goodbye, the Internet.